Just quickly, if you've got a question you would like answered on this show, then head over to @AshBorland on Instagram and drop me a direct message. I answer questions from people all the time on this show, and it's one of my favorite things to do every single morning before I start my day. So if you've got a question within marketing or sales or processes within financial services, then drop me a DM @AshBorland on Instagram, or ashborland.com/Instagram, and it'll redirect you there, and I will answer the question on the show when we get around to it. Anyway, let's get into this episode. So I was listening to a podcast today and I heard a term that just got my brain firing on all cylinders. And that phrase was, prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. Okay, prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. Now this was referred to when they were talking about, there was a sales coach actually talking about how in the medical field, that is something that people talk about all the time, is that prescription without diagnosis is malpractice, and that we need to make sure we find the root cause. Now, the reason why this got my brain just firing all over the place was because this is so important for mortgage brokers who are looking to try and increase their sales with insurance. Now, why do I say this? And to be honest, across the board with mortgages, but let's talk about insurance within this. So why is this important? Prescription without diagnosis. The vast majority of mortgage brokers that I have had contact with over my years in this industry, over a decade now within the kind of property financial services sector, is that I have had many people who go to this default. They go to sell life, sell a bit of kick, never sell IP, and they effectively go to a minimum level. Oh, we're going to do £50 budget, or all of this stuff where they've effectively prescribed the insurance to their clients without any conversation. And a lot of times it's because it's in their own minds, it's a limiting belief. They're worried about what it is that client will say. Or, for example, they've maybe seen many people over and over again. And because they've seen them over and over again, they start to assume that everybody's the same. So this is where this idea of, if you are prescribing life insurance, critical illness cover, level term life, decreasing term life, whatever it may be, because of a default fixed bias in your mind, because you think everybody has to have these, or that if I fix them with this amount, then I'm going to be able to, that's going to be enough for me to be able to make good money. They'll stick, but they won't look at me. And by the way, this comes up. Some of you listening to this will be thinking, Ash, what are you talking about? And by the way, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're not, and you're one of those people who isn't doing this, then I am so happy and proud that the people are out there like that. I know they exist. I know the work that I do, that Matt Chapman does, that Gary Water does, to help people with their insurance. That's becoming a really big thing, and we're seeing more and more of that. And people that are out there, are also people out there who just understand the value of this. But if you are still doing that generic, don't do IP because it could be difficult. When I worked at a corporate, and I won't name, the kind of general rule of thumb and the general consensus was, don't sell IP because it can be bad for compliance. And if it's bad for compliance, then it could cause you to lose your bonus. And that means don't talk about it. So oftentimes people would just write, customer didn't ask for IP, because they didn't want to broach the subject with the customer, because they didn't want to have to do the work that could then get an unsuitable letter, which would mean that they could even lose their job just because of the way it was done. So there's lots of culture in this. And I recently spoke to somebody who I know is a client of mine who was selling level term life before he worked with me, and he was just selling level term life to everybody because that was what he believed was the right thing to do because of what he'd been taught by other people. Not his fault, but other people have taught him that way. So it is quite crazy. So where does this idea of diagnosis come in? If you're trying to improve your sales with insurance, then there's a couple of things that you should be doing. So the first thing I recommend when people are doing insurance, let's talk about this idea of diagnosis. So diagnosis, what does that look like? Really, it's a discovery call. So a discovery call for insurance, for your protection. So do you have discovery calls for your protection? Because if you don't, if you're not having discovery calls for your protection, if you're just doing this, like I said, over emails, and I've said this in the previous episodes before, then you're not doing yourself justice. Do you understand what it is that they want to protect? Do you understand what it is they need to protect? And I think that this is where this idea of becoming a true advisor comes in. And if you're looking to try and increase your income, you want to increase your sales, you want to be able to make more money from less clients, then running this type of idea, creating a diagnosis approach, the doctor approach in your advisory role is going to be great. So what would I be doing? Look at the bank statements before. Do your research. So bank statements. Your bank statements are going to tell you so much about what that person is. So before I would have the discovery call, I'd be looking at their bank statements. You've got them there. You've got them to hand. I'm sure AI is going to be coming out. We're going to be able to tell us more and more about this. In fact, I know there's AI software in the works coming with this. But for now, just go in there. Look, go through with it, print it off with a highlighter or on your iPad with a highlighter and just go, okay, what does that look like? Because the bank statements tell people's lifestyle. If you think about insurance, the idea about insurance is you're trying to protect their lifestyle. And this is why I think that everyone's default of going to life and kick is maybe a bad idea, because realistically, if it was me, I'd be going, most people are going to need IP and FIB. Income while you're alive, income when you're dead. As a man who's providing for his family, provide while you're here, provide when you're gone. The life and the kick, depending on the diagnosis, and again, it goes back to, do you understand what this person actually is doing? Because if that person's got a good diagnosis, then, and as in a good situation, understanding kick or life can be viable, but it's understanding it. And so you need to ascertain what their life is about, and you need, before you have this discovery call, you need to understand it. So you go in, look at their bank statements. This is not for the lender, it's not for anyone, it's just for you. What do they spend? Are they spending lots on Netflix? Are they spending, because these, now why do we want these things? What are they going to be? They're going to be conversation starters. These are going to be conversation, can't spell conversation, but starters, okay? A conversation starter is going to come from the bank slips. What are we going to see from that? Now, obviously, if you're going to see things like OnlyFans and stuff like that, then yeah, you don't want to be bringing that up, or you might have to if there's a case, but if it's negative. But realistically, conversation starts. What are you going to see? You got payment to Audi. Oh, you got an Audi car. Do you like that car? Tell me about the car. What car do you drive? You're paying out to ballet lessons. Oh, your kid has ballet lessons. That's interesting. What do they do? My daughter does this. Blah, blah. Like, you're going to see it. Oh, you pay Xbox Live. Oh, you play video games. So one of my clients recently, I'm a big gamer. I haven't played games in years because I don't have the ability, not really, because I have kids and a business, but I love video games. It's part of my childhood hugely, and a lot of nostalgia around that. One of my clients recently, their clients, the two of them played video games together. He saw that by looking at the bank statements and seeing the Xbox Live subscriptions. And then the purchases from Xbox Live and the Xbox Game Pass membership. And it got him talking to them. Oh, you play games. Do you play together? What do you do? How much does that cost you? Do you spend a lot of money on equipment? These are lifestyle questions. He ended up selling them, by the way, like a £200 a month policy of full different things, IP, live, kick, the whole lot. But that's because he did a diagnosis. He understood what was important to them. He wasn't just going straight to the prescription of full life, decreasing term, and 50 grand's worth of kick. And we know, I know that there's so many of you listening to this who will do that. Full life, decreasing term, kick, level term, 50 grand. Oh, that's what we all need. No, we don't. You need to understand, you need to diagnose what is their life, what does their life need? And you might find, by the way, their life needs less. They might not need much compared to what you thought, or they might need a lot more. They might need a significant amount more than what you're giving them. And the problem you find with this, where it comes to the conversation starter, is value. And this is something I've learned. I love this term, which is price is only an issue in the absence. Gosh, I had to spell absence of value. Price is only an issue in the absence of value. This is a term that was taught to me by a mentor of mine, Mark Patacio, who is a ex-IFA, sold his firm, and then became a behavioral economist. Wonderful man, and very pivotal in my journey and my life. And he taught me this, which is price is only an issue in the absence of value. And it hit like a ton of bricks, which is if you are thinking that they're going to be worried about the price, they're only going to be worried about it if they don't see the value in it. And value is subjective. Value is only what the other person sees. For example, with this, if you don't diagnose, then how the hell are they going to know they need it? How are they going to know? If someone goes to a doctor and they go, doctor, there you go, take these pills. I've got an autoimmune disease. You take these pills. Okay, cool. If I take them and I have them, cool. But now I know the inside and out, and the doctor's diagnosed my problem. When I take those pills, I don't miss them. I take them religiously before bed because I know what they're about. I know what they do. I know what they're there for. I know what the alternative could be if I don't take them. Big difference. And I see this all the time. So this idea, and again, I'll just bring it up again because I think it's such an important one. The idea of prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. It actually is. You are sucking at your job if you do that. And I don't mean that to be rude to you. I'm a big tough love person in this idea of it's okay to suck at your job. Get better. Don't take offense. There's so many things that I suck at, and I'm happy for people to say you suck at it. And my wife will constantly be like, oh, I rubbish at that. Or you do. And I'm like, great. I'll get better. I'll improve. Don't get offended when someone says you do something wrong, which, by the way, is the reason why many people get triggered about fees. When I go on these shows all the time, don't charge fees. If you don't charge fees, you're just, they're like, oh, and they try to justify it in ethical reasons. No, just look yourself in the mirror and go, yes, I'm right. Not Ash's right. It's yes, he is right. I would rather be paid more for the value I do because I do really well. But I am scared of charging fees because I am scared I'm going to lose business. It's okay to be scared about losing things. And I think this is the thing, is, but you've got to face that. You are creating malpractice if you are just giving people off-the-shelf stuff, and then they have the audacity to then go, we are different to the banks, and we are different to the Go Compare websites. We have products you can't have. Well, you might have them, but you're not giving them to them, and you're not sitting down and talking to them about it. And then you worry why it churns. You worry why it falls through, why your penetration rate is low. Well, because they don't know why they need it. But instead, if you get on that discovery call, spend a one hour discovery call with them to talk about protection. And the amount of advisors I speak to who go, I don't have an hour. I can't give an hour. Why can't you give an hour? If you got 200 pounds a month on a premium, depending on what network you're at, that's going to net you 4,000, not net you, but gross you to the whole network. Obviously, they'll take their cut. About £4,400. Are you telling me you don't have 1 hour to give for this? Seriously? But instead, the same brokers, the same advisors are going to be chumping around for 150 grand mortgages with no fees on them, or doing 150 grand PTs. But you don't have an hour to sit down and talk to somebody and get to know their situation so you can actually sell them insurance that they need, which is going to, it's a win-win. It's a win for you because you're going to get paid a lot of money. People who do this get paid a lot of money. It's a win for them because they're going to have the actual products they need to fix the solution that they, the problem, it's the products they need to have as a solution, sorry, to the problems they have. And they'll know why they have them. It's not rocket science. So next time you think about this, next time just in your head, prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. Think about that when I think about Ash saying that, and you will, I hate referring to myself in the third person. Think about that. And then you'll, when you're next time speaking to them, think, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to learn more about them because we then can protect what matters most to them. And that's how you do it. Anyway, I'll see you in the next episode, guys. I will love you and leave you. Bye. So if you have ever got any value from the content I create, from this podcast to my Instagram content to the free mortgage marketing blueprint that I update every single year, and you would like to show your appreciation completely for free, then it would mean the world to me if you head over to LinkedIn and leave me a recommendation. Let me know your feedback on what you've got from the show. It's wonderful to hear how this stuff is affecting and helping brokers in the real world. Head over to ashborland.com/LinkedIn and it will redirect you there. We need to be connected. So if we're not connected already, drop me a connection request. And if we are, just head over, just click on the button at the top and click recommendation or recommend. And do fill out the rest. And it would, like I said, it really would mean the world. Anyway, let's get on to the next episode.